So, with whatever degree of a little more settledness, hopefully, you have now, the next phase that I think works organically is a sense of being able to settle and to really get calm and quiet. Usually, we're only the opportunity to have several hours of quiet, or when we go on holiday or something is, when we can. This is it's a fine skill. And what happens to sabotage the skill of being able to be present and calm is that the worry little mind doesn't believe that this is enough. We really deeply, deeply believe that just the next something will be an improvement. When I just get more of something, or just get rid of something, or after a little bit more of something or other, then around that next bend, it'll all be. So we really have this deep belief that this isn't quite it. Are you anybody sitting here with the feeling of like, this absolutely is my life? Here I am, right in the middle of it, and this is enough. See, we've all got that bit of a yes, but I'd like a little more of something, a little different. That's the behavior of the separate sense of self. That's what it is, what it believes, and therefore what it's always trying to do is get that something else or get rid of something so that something else will be here. It's the definition and it's the activation and it's the belief that's running us, and it isn't true. It's a misbelief, it's an erroneous view. Because if we live that way, this will never be it. How could anything ever be enough? It's not about what is, it's about the attitude of mind that perceives this isn't quite enough. And what changes as we meditate, we develop the ability to say, basically, as you were saying, that this is fine. This is how it is. This is not going to be perfect. The difficulty we have is that our little mind, left hemisphere, survival mind, call it what you like, the relative one that we're so good at, doesn't believe that it's supposed to be anything less than perfect. We really think it's supposed to be really good. We're supposed to be really peaceful. It's supposed to be fine. And when there's any kind of problem, quote unquote problem, there's something wrong. There's a problem. It shouldn't be that way. It's not okay that people fight. It's not okay that families aren't coherent. It's not okay that it's raining. It's not okay that I've got a sore shoulder, blah, 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 that I'm getting old. We make that not okay. And it's because it's not okay in our belief system that we want something other. So what we it's always going to be pleasant, and it's also going to be unpleasant, and it's also going to be all the range in between. We need to believe it deeply, and we don't believe it deeply. We want, the Buddha called eight vicissitudes. How many of you have heard me say this so many times? There are eight vicissitudes, according to the way the Buddha, one of the ways he described reality. There is and will always be pleasure and pain. There is and will always be gain and loss. There is and will always be praise and blame. And there will always be fame, like public praise, and disrepute, like public blame. Privately and publicly, those comments will always happen. We will always gain things and lose things. We will always have pleasure. We will always have pain. And the whole range in between. That is the fact of this realm of existence. Do you believe it deeply? No. Because if you believed it deeply, you would say, oh, it's one of those days. It's going down. Oh, it's going up. Oh, it's going down again. It's the way it always is. But we deeply don't want that. We think we can do better than that. We can fix that, and we can always make it be praise, gain, pleasure, and fame. Four of the eight. Deeply, we have that belief. That's the survival ego belief, and that's an error. We begin to realize that. We begin to realize that it's not so threatening, actually, that it is those other four as well. As we become more calm, we begin to realize that our wishing for it to be just four, just the good ones, is the problem. That wishing makes the other four negative. They're not negative. Sometimes people, are going to be complaining. It's part of the deal. So until we can say yes to our experience, all of it, we won't want to stay here. We want to go off to the other, the plan, or rerun the old to make it not be that way, or to have fixed it or sorted it out or something, something. It's hard to stay here. So staying here is actually the experience. I mean, staying here with our attention, you know what I mean? Being aware here, ongoingly, without the mind rushing off to some other busy thing. It's about contentment. And we won't be content if we're already upset. That's why we have to start with giving ourselves some positive and reminding ourselves that there are these good things. It's not all difficult. It's okay. There's a lot of good here. A lot that's acceptable, that's fine. The new buds. Yes, to help us be able to open to 8 vicissitudes, ups and downs, limits to what we think of as perfection. So having given ourselves some of the ups, focusing on some of what we call the good for some time, however long we did this morning, then can we now just be content with this? Can this now be enough? This sitting here, this quiet place, this simple old garden that was once, I'm sure, fuller of flowers and family, and with my body as it is, with my age as it is, with my family as they are, with my work scenario as it is, with my energy levels as they are today, can this be enough? Let this be enough. Enough for what, anyway? What are we wanting out of life? What are we trying to have more of? The trying to have more is what's in the way of being content. It's our attitude that's our problem. That's the only problem. It is up and it is down. And if we have an attitude that says that's how it is, there isn't a problem. So we need to be shifting our attitude. And we won't shift this attitude unless we see that attitude. Oh, I want this. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, if only that. How could this be? We need to see ourselves doing that. It's what I call neurotic. It's not wrong or bad. It's just the belief that we can improve things and therefore have another moment that's better than this moment. It's an endless, endless neurotic spin that we're doing. So what we're wanting to do to stay present is to release that whole if only, if only, if only. And say, yes, this is enough, this, just here. Let me just rest in what's here, instead of exhaustively reach for something that isn't. See, it's ridiculous when you think of it like that. You see how silly it is, but we have such a belief that that's the way that will help. We're just misguided. We're wrong out of ignorance. The biggest crime, really, that we commit, according to the wise ones, according to the Buddha's language, is ignorance, is not realizing that. That's all. We're not bad, and we're not stupid. We just don't realize that this is your life, and this is all you have, this moment, with all of the things in it. And we all have all of these things in our lives, and we always will. They'll change, they'll come, they'll go, but there isn't anything else. It's all imaginary. There isn't another later. It'll be another moment like this, different, but the same. So it's about being content. And that's very simple. The other is complicated. The wishing for and the planning and the trying to figure out and the rearranging is complicated. We make it more complicated. It's very simple, this moment. It's very small. It's just now, it's just here, just whatever's here. And it's a matter of the mind being quiet rather than getting into this moment and then wanting to do something with it and getting busy. It's much less than that. It's really, being present is very easy. It's nothing really. It's just going, oh, I see, yeah. The other is very complicated and brilliant and anxious and all that. So when we talk about relinquishment, restraint, know, sound rather moralizing words, but that's what we're meaning, the relinquishing the othering, relinquishing wishing, relinquishing planning, relinquishing adding even commentary. This is how it is. This, just this is how it is. Relinquish all the extra mental chit-chat, commentary, blah, 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 and just say, oh, this air is like this, this body is like this, these shoulders are like this. It's quiet. And it's a huge relief. And the more we're quiet and in that quiet contentment, we see how neurotic and exhausting that other relentless behavior is. And it doesn't help the thing. It doesn't help. It makes it worse. That's what's so tragic, poignant. So letting things be as they are. Letting yourself see what you see, know what you know. Feel how you feel. As we stay and we learn to be more present without adding all the extra and trying and going into imaginary possible worlds, as we become more stable, we see that things will come without our wanting them. They will stay as long as they stay, whether we want them or not, and they will disappear. And that happens with nothing to do with your will. Everything is experienced this way. And a lot of you know already, I've heard a lot of the theory, and you've seen this many times. As we quietly sit back and allow life to display itself into our awareness, it's always flowing by. It's like a river. And some pieces stay louder and bigger, and some come back more frequently. And some just blip by, and that's that. But without our having to do anything, things do not stick around very long. Even really heavy moods, they themselves aren't as heavy and solid as we are afraid they will be. Nothing. And this is all seen if you can stay present and just, okay, this is what's happening, this is what's happening. It all becomes obvious. It isn't, you don't have to learn this, and you don't have to even practice figuring any of that out. Just stay present and you will see for yourselves. Nothing is as heavy that has to be done to. It just will move through. Even heavy storms move through. St. John of the Cross. I was sad one day, so I went for a walk. I sat in a field. A rabbit noticed my condition and came near. It often doesn't take more than that to help, at times, to just be close to creatures who are so full of knowing, so full of love, that they don't chat. They just gaze with their marvelous understanding. Mary Oliver, of course. When I'm among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech and the oaks and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness, I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I'm so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches and they call again. "It's simple," they say. "And you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine." I don't know who wrote this. I think it's David White, but I'm not sure. Enough. These few words are enough. If not these words, this breath. If not this breath, this sitting here. This opening to the life we have refused again and again until now. Until now. More about the woods. Stand still. The trees ahead and the bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here. And you must treat it as a powerful stranger. You must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers. I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying, here. No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. For some reason, I'm reading you all these lovely poems this weekend. I don't always do this, but I am this weekend for some reason. E.E. Cummings. Let it go, the smashed word broken open, or the oath cracked lengthwise. Let it go, it was sworn to go. Let them go, the truthful liars and the false fair friends and the boths and the neithers. You must let them go, they were born to go. Let all go, the big, small, middling, tall, bigger, the biggest, and all things. Let all go, dear. So comes love.